Due to the graphic nature of this podcast, listener discretion is advised. This is a work of fiction that contains adult language, murder, and death that some people may find offensive. We advise extreme caution for children under 13. This is Everyday Death. I was stuck, peering through the boughs of the evergreen I had ducked behind, watching the stranger come into the clearing I had been examining. He was surveying the fire pit site, putting his hands over it to see if it was giving off heat. Logic tried to take over my racing thoughts. The main trail was a popular hiking trail. It's not like the side trail to where we were was well hidden. It had been clearly obvious when I came this way. Maybe just someone out for a hike, enjoying the woods before the snows came in. It's Vermont. Everybody hikes. Tara kept screaming over that stream of logic that this was the murderer and I was dead. My hand was on the knife handle on my belt, but I didn't pull it. I wasn't about to go charging at this guy making assumptions, because he could be an innocent hiker. He also was way, way bigger than me, and I was hoping if it came to it, the knife would be a last-minute nasty surprise for him if he grabbed me. I moved out from behind the evergreen and tried to creep further down the deer path, towards the river where I suspected Cassie was. At least I might have a chance of evading this guy. However, there were no leaves on the trees to shelter me from his gaze. Some shrubbery, yes, but if I moved outside of that, then I would be as clear as day in my not-a-deer-don't-shoot orange vest. Maybe I could just stay where I was, and he would go back the way he came. The man was taking pictures of the campfire site on his cell phone, getting everything from the broken glass to soggy cigarette butts in the fire pit. Something caught his attention, and he carefully drew an item I couldn't make out from his pocket, and laid it down on the ground. I realized it was there for size comparison. What was he looking at? Oh, shit. The very fresh dig marks I had left in the dirt from grounding myself in it. I looked down at my fingers. They were still speckled in wet earth. Suddenly, a very unnatural sound broke through our silent standoff. His phone rang. It was so jarring I clapped a hand over my mouth to muffle the sudden gasp I had let out. He put his finger to the screen. I had been expecting him to silence it or curse at the sudden noise, but he casually put it to his ear. McGregor was how he answered it. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I suddenly recognized him as he turned absently in my direction while answering questions on his phone call. Ian McGregor, detective. Son of a bitch. Now that I had gone from being sure I was about to be murdered by a stranger to hoping this wasn't a rogue cop kills overweight bookstore owner in the woods kind of scenario, I decided to make it look like I had been hiking on the deer path. I rolled myself around the other side of the tree while he was occupied with his phone, ducking behind some of the wild shrubbery that held its leaves, and tried to look casual as I strode up the deer path towards the clearing, my heart still somewhere in my throat. Ian, completely oblivious to the fact that moments ago he was the most frightening thing I had encountered in my whole life, turned as he heard my footsteps. He lifted his hand in greeting as he said goodbye to whoever he was on the phone with. To me, he called, "Reese, hey, I saw your truck parked at the trailhead. I was hoping to catch up with you." "To kill you?" my still half-panicked brain whispered. My actual reply was, "Oh, what for?" Shoving his phone back into his pocket, he glanced around, as if making sure no one else was there to overhear. Well, honestly, it was twofold. Firstly, I wanted to apologize for Frankie and for the way we handled that whole thing. I didn't think he was going to be such a shit to you, and honestly, I really did think this girl was a runaway. I also didn't think you were... I don't know how to say this so it doesn't sound rude, but here it is. I didn't think you were for real. Some of the stuff you said was so keyed in, though, Cassie's mom completely was blown away. And so I started to think, what if you were right? What if, maybe, it was true? I was stunned into silence. I let Ian keep going. I have the day off, so I figured, hell, I'd check some of the spots we got party complaints. I didn't really expect to see you here, though. I figured you'd be on the main trail. The last part was a little accusatory. Well, Ian, to be blunt, I wanted to connect to Cassie again. Without distraction, without having to explain myself. Ian looked sincere when he asked, "Were you able to?" Still a bit suspicious, but glad someone believed me, I told him some of it. "Yes, I think she's down by the river." Ian looked a bit torn for a moment. "I'll head down there and check it out. I should tell you to let me do it myself. You could, I agreed, but it's public land and you don't have a crime scene right now. So right now, I'm just a private citizen on public land out for a hike. He nodded, a smirk at his lips. You are. And honestly, this never goes on record, but if you did make contact with Cassie, maybe you can help me find her. Understand that if we do, I can't give you credit. I'll call it in, but you will have to get gone before the Stadies get here. I'll say I was following up on a tip. Sorry, Reese, but medium readings are never going to hold up in court, so... I shook my head, stopping him. Ian, I totally get it. I don't want credit. I just want this girl found. That's all. I'll leave right away if we find her. Good, he replied. Glad we are on the same page. Without any more hesitation, I started down the deer trail. I started feeling a bit better with a detective in the woods with me. At least if the killer was still out here, I had backup. Backup with a gun. We wandered the path to the river. The place was really wild. There wasn't much for a trail for humans here. It was full of undergrowth and not the easiest walking. She said he hit her with a rock, I volunteered. Staring at the waters of the river, I wondered to myself, which way? I felt a tug to move to my right up the river, so I did. The place was so heavily vegetated, a person could be lying anywhere and you would never know. I couldn't have walked far, really, but I think it seemed like eternity because I was going slowly, looking under bushes or in the river. If he had thrown her in those waters, she could be anywhere. Ian slipped past me and continued upstream as I paused to look under some shrubbery. We weren't talking much, just looking, but the silence was companionable, not uncomfortable, which was at least something of comfort in the moment. The reality that we were looking for the corpse of what I knew as a murder victim was a heavy weight. And what the hell with that vision? Some spirits communicate in pictures. It could have been that was how she saw him through her fear. It didn't mean it was literal. It wasn't an easy vision to shake, though, especially out here in the woods. It must have been dark as pitch when he took her. Not fully paying attention, I didn't realize Ian had stopped dead in his tracks, and I walked right into the back of him. Jesus, Ian, I'm sorry, I stopped, realizing he was staring at something. There was a stone circle in the woods, definitely man-made, and in the center, the crumpled form of a human body. I got a quick look before Ian tried to turn me away, softly saying, "Don't, Reese, don't look at it." There were symbols carved into her flesh. I saw one on her forehead, and the bruising on the palm of the one hand I saw made me think that there was more. The rain and nature had taken a toll on her, but I saw the blonde hair and, casually discarded, the pink beanie hat. I wish I had been wrong. I wish that this time I didn't know what I was talking about. There was nothing good about being right about this. Ian was pulling out his phone to make the call to his station, who would in turn call the state police for the forensics unit. He looked at me directly. "Reese, you have to go. Thank you for your help, but you have to go before they get here." I put a hand on his arm. "Ian, listen to me. Those symbols mean something. Take as much documentation as you can. I guarantee I can find out what they are if I don't already know offhand. Come to me if you need the help, all right? I want to help you get the fucker that did this, but I'm no cop." Ian nodded, looking back at the body of the girl. "All right, I'll let you know. Please don't tell Frankie you were out here with me, Reese. I don't need that kind of tension with him." Shaking my head, I muttered, "Neither do I, no worries there." I wanted so badly to go and cover the girl with my jacket or smooth the hair back from her face, but I knew that her physical body was beyond comforting. My heart split in two for her parents, and I couldn't help but picture Jewel lying there. I couldn't do anything else for her, I knew that. I wasn't a cop, I was nothing to this girl except someone that could hear her. I had done everything I could have. I decided I would go home and make use of my back room and hold a ceremony for her spirit. That was all I could offer the girl. I turned to walk away and Ian called out one last time. "Reese, call me if you need to talk later, all right? This isn't easy to bear, I know. And thank you." He pushed the call button on his phone, summoning help. I nodded to him silently. Maybe I would take him up on that. I left Ian, my feet leaden as I walked up the path. I had a suspicion what those marks were, and if I was right, this town had a bigger problem than it realized. I needed to call for some help from outside of town. I got to my truck and heaved a shuddering sigh. Fuck, I whispered to myself. Fuck. I wiped my face, feeling particles of soil rub into my skin. I picked up my phone and dialed. I was expecting voicemail, but instead, I got through. Oak, Ash, and Thorn Farm, how can I help you? Ma, it's Reese. I need some help. Everyday Death is written and produced by Melissa Croft. I hope you are enjoying this story. If you enjoy what you are hearing, please subscribe to hear new episodes every Monday. Thank you for listening.